Somewhere men are laughing, and somewhere children shout, but there is no joy in Mudville. Mighty Casey has struck!
I only got one thing to say to you. Strike this mother out.
2-2! He got a perfect game ever done by the King!
Hey, you! Are you right in that
hole? Took away a game-tying home run for Manny Ramirez.
That's my thing, fellas.
We will see you tomorrow night.
Ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for visiting us this evening.
Welcome back to another episode of Mudville. We are coming at you guys on Thursday, July 10th. Should be July 11th by the time this is up. So thank you guys for taking a break from listening to the new Clips album to check out this episode from us. Brody, how are you feeling today in the first day of the post-DJ LeMahieu era?
You know, the first DJ post-DJ LeMahieu day is about the same as the DJ LeMahieu era has been, I will say. I don't feel super different. There's a lot of, like, you know, thank you, DJ, and, like, all that kind of stuff, which, like, yeah, sure. Like, he was very good when he was here and, like, all that. But, like, people were trying to run him out of town for, like, half a decade now. So, like, I don't know. I feel bad for him. Obviously, it sucks when you see, like, a good dude or, like, someone who was good at the sport, like, eventually just kind of break down. But, you know, I didn't really feel anything when I got the news. It felt like it was, you know, overdue. And at the same time, like, not, like, super – it's not the way you want to see a guy go out, basically. But I just didn't really care in general. Like, I feel like there was not – it's not like they're replacing him with some big prospect, basically. So it's not like – I'm not super excited. I'm not torn up. It's just, you know, how it goes, I guess. I don't know. How about you?
You said it. It's not like when they forced A-Rod to retire and then, like, right, the very next day you see Aaron Judge for the first time homering in his first truly at-bat with Tyler Austin. I mean, that shit was crazy.
Wild things.
Really crazy that happened. Just like,
it's like Aaron Rodgers sitting on the bench and taking over for Brett Favre.
Yeah, and then Packers fans wanted Jordan Love to be the same thing, and he's been pretty good, so, you know, I don't know.
He's very good, yeah.
Quick shout out to Jordan Love on the baseball podcast.
Jordan Love, yeah.
DJ LeMahieu, DFA'd by the New York Yankees. It was time. That's all you really have to say at this point in 2025 about LeMahieu. I feel like he's kind of like if the Simpsons were a baseball player. It's like when he was in his peak, he was incredible. He was one of the very best hitters we had. One of the best
winning
hitters in the game.
Right?
Yeah, just incredible. I mean, people are going to talk about that home run he hit against the Astros. They would talk about it more if it hadn't been immediately ruined by Aroldis Chapman, but I digress. Still one of the best hits I can remember in the Yankees franchise history. He reached the point where people had been upset with him or trying to get rid of him, get him out of the lineup for longer than the amount of time that he was actually liked. So it was time for him to go. You know, he was in his Lisa Simpson meets Lady Gaga era, or fans out over Elon Musk, you know, any of those things in the era of the show where it was just like, oh my God, can we please put an end to this already? You're killing what it was that we liked of you. And DJ LeMahieu was doing the exact same thing. So it was time for him to go. It's nice that the first day in the post-LeMahieu era, we also get to discuss a nice debut out of Cam Schlittler, who made his big league debut last night against the Seattle Mariners. I thought he looked very, very good. I've actually been doing a little bit of writing about Cam Schlittler over at Pinstripe Alley this season. I do their, like, minor league weekly recap, and I talk about prospects over there, and he was the one that I feel like I've been the most excited about all year. Sort of him and Carlos LaGrange, who I can actually also talk about a little bit later on in the show as well. But yeah, I think that the Yankees pitching development has done very well this year with a lot of these young guys, and it was definitely time for Schlittler to make his debut. You know, it worked out. I mean, they had a guy ready to come up after the Clark Schmidt Tommy John news, so certainly didn't really miss a beat. You know, I do feel like the Yankees are still going to need another pitcher, but, you know, the fact that, you know, we were able to see Cam Schlittler come up, sort of adjust right away and kind of hit the ground running. He did get beat by a couple of long balls last night. JP Crawford got him Jorge Polanco had a long home run right down the line. So he is going to need to find a pitch that can break away from left-handed hitters. That might be kind of the last thing he needs to find, because he's got an incredible fastball. He's got some really nice off-speed offerings as well. Deep arsenal for him. He's going to be pretty lethal against right-handed hitters. But, you know, he might still struggle against lefties. Sort of a coincidental thing to say about a pitcher is I am actively watching Brian Wu pitch right now on my TV. But, yeah, I mean, you know, we'll see how all of that goes. We'll always remember those few years where DJ was just an incredible hitter, you know, sort of a singles machine. That was his nickname, was the machine for a while. So we will miss that version of LeMahieu, but it was time to send him off to pasture. Is there anything else that's on your mind today before we get into the weeds?
Not really. I do think that that is a good place to talk a little bit about trade deadline stuff. I know we want to get into it next week, but like, the Yankees are a team that's going to be a major player at the deadline, as said by their general manager yesterday in the DJ LeMahieu, you know, release press conference. Like, do you see them moving on from, or not moving on, but like packaging together like a LaGrange, or, I mean, there's like Ben Hess or something. Like, there's like a lot of like young names that, you know, people are saying that they're looking at Eugenio Suarez. I heard Jose Ramirez's name thrown out yesterday, which is like wild. I don't think that's accurate, but like certainly caught my attention. Everyone in the world knows the Yankees need a third baseman. There's not usually a lot of guys in the Yankee system that are untouchable, but Cashman doesn't move off. So I don't know who would catch, you know, fetch a package.
That's a good question. I would just throw away Jose Ramirez right away. I don't think there is any chance that Cleveland moves him. Ever. I mean, certainly not going to move him to the Yankees. I think, no, they're not doing well. Kansas City not doing well. Cleveland not doing well. Twins have had a successful series against Chicago. They did just lose today, but they won that series, which is kind of interesting. You know,
Twins were on a bit of a heater there for a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it really is the Detroit Tigers division there. Eugenio is much more likely. You know, I definitely do think that we'll see the Yankees trade for a third baseman. I think they'll probably go out and get a veteran arm as well.
They said they want a starter, a reliever, and a third baseman.
Yeah, they probably need like five relievers, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, Devin Williams looked better.
He's recently doing better.
Luke Weaver had a good outing yesterday. I don't know. Not to make this a Yankee episode, but I do feel like in the same way as we would talk about them in the offseason, unfortunately, I think they're one of the more interesting teams at the deadline.
They definitely are.
Just because, 100%. You know, it's, they're always trying to win. They're not going to throw a season away. You know they'll never sell.
Nope.
Except for the one time they did in 2017, they bought Clint Frazier. How'd that go for you?
they also got Glaber.
And Glaber. I know they did get Glaber. Point being, just the guys that are the names that are going to get thrown around. You know, it's the Yankees. So it's in the same way that the Knicks are always tied to LeBron. You know, people are going to throw names out and just be like, oh, the Yankees are interested, or they should do this. Suarez feels like a reach, but possible. And I feel like that's going to be like the one that'll be fun. Feel like it's going to end up being Luis Renjifo.
D-backs do have quite a few guys that could be of value to the Yanks right now. Like Suarez is obviously the main name, but if you're going for a pitcher, Gallen has been a bit down on his luck as of late. I mean, you know, maybe you can let like Matt Blake sort of cook with him. Quite a few red flags there in that profile out of a guy who was really one of the best arms in the league for a couple of years there, you know, sort of culminating in that 2023 World Series appearance where, you know, just through that entire postseason, he threw so many pitches. They had to like rely on him so much. I think maybe that kind of has gassed his arm ever since. I mean, maybe that's fair to say, you know, maybe that's true to like some extent, but in a larger sense, it's just sort of natural regression out of his arm. You could see Zach Gallen moved. You could see Merrill Kelly moved. Ginkle maybe out of the pen. Merrill Kelly's 37.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, him and Seth Lugo is another name to be good. Vets getting moved.
Yeah. And I mean, it seems
does
like,
Sandy,
you know,
Alcantara end up going at this point?
I don't even know what you get for him at this point. He's been awful this year. He's been terrible. Like, ever since coming back from Tommy John, I'm really, really surprised by that. I gotta think that there's a way to fix that. Like, if you put him in the right situation, you can kind of get him back on track. He probably won't ever go back to being the pitcher we saw in 2022, but I can't imagine that this is just who Sandy Alcantara is now. I've been very, very surprised by his performance this year.
He has lost 0.7 miles an hour off his fastball. Everything else, and if you look at his percentiles on StatCast, it is like, I mean, it's terrifying how much blue shows up if you like switch between 22 and 25.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything is just not working for him. He also has changed from being like a changeup heavy, like changeup fastball heavy to now being a sinker heavy, which his sinker used to be his third pitch, and now it's like he's jacking up the usage and he's not relying on his fastball as much. So I don't know if he's just not as comfortable in his fastball so that he doesn't feel like he can use the changeup. But that's like, I don't know. Something about the way that he's just not getting people to swing and miss. He's not getting anybody to chase. It's just not the same guy. Like, I'm not good enough at evaluating pitchers to be able to tell you what actually is going on, but that is the first thing that I notice. I don't know. He's not like walking a ton of people. He's not giving up a ton of barrels. So it's got to be something else. I don't know.
Based on how horrible his results have been this year, you would expect him to be down like 5 miles an hour in velocity. You'd expect the stuff to just be terrible and all of his off-speed pitches. And it's just not really the case. And he's getting hammered every outing out there. So whatever he's doing, it's not working. You know, maybe if sort of a more competent organization gets their hands on him, they can fix him. Very similar situation just on the other side of the ball to Luis Robert Jr. right now on the White Sox.
Dodgers trying to do that, by the way.
Could be the Dodgers
trying to pick up Alcantara or Luis Robert. I mean,
Phillies maybe, Padres. I could see any of these teams.
If the Phillies got their hands on Sandy Alcantara and they could somehow turn him into a shadow of what he was a few years ago,
mm-hmm.
that rotation becomes terrifying.
It sure does. Absolutely.
It's already scary.
Does.
But that would be a freaky prospect.
Yeah. Do you have any other deadline thoughts for this, or should we kind of save the rest of that?
Yeah, we should probably save the rest. Yeah. We said we were going to do it next week. Yeah, there is some stuff. Good. It's early. I know it's early for it, but there's some stuff.
We'll do a more cohesive breakdown next week, I think, when we get a little closer to the actual date. You know, we might have a couple trades to talk about next time as well.
Yes.
This is
we do have some that we could talk about, nothing big. There's
Brian Baker
trade
for the draft pick today. Yeah, Brian Baker to the Rays.
When did that become allowed?
You can't trade actual picks. You can only trade competitive balance picks. So it's like you have those sort of 10 usually picks after the first 30, and those picks are eligible to be traded for some reason, but you cannot move any other draft picks. Yeah, I think you should be able to. I mean, I think it's probably because of the like economics of the draft where you have teams going like under slot, so it's sort of like if you have fewer picks and they're like, you know, within the range of the like third, fourth round or whatever, you have
no
more incentive to kind of like go after guys who wouldn't necessarily, who you wouldn't be able to get, you know, when you have to spread that money around to like more players. Like if you take like three guys who you're then able to sign like way above slot, you know, you're essentially getting three first round picks in the like third, fourth, and fifth round instead of like, you know, eight picks, I guess, just hypothetically, like throughout the rest of the draft. So that's probably why they don't allow it, but I don't know.
Well,
I kind of feel like you should be able to do
it. What I'm saying is there's no immediate disadvantage like to the actual team. Like if you're in the NFL and you want to get rid of like 2 years worth of first round picks to go get like, I don't know, like a big receiver or something at the deadline, guys that you would be drafting that you're giving up that draft pick for or that draft location for immediately are going to probably be playing in the NFL. Mm-hmm. In baseball, we don't see draft picks for 2, 3, 4, 5 years. So it's, you know, it's like you could trade an entire draft, not really even feel it because these guys aren't going to actually, most of them probably won't make the team if ever. Maybe one of them will in like half a decade. So it's like the Yankees would never draft ever if they could trade draft picks. So, you know, it would just be their favorite currency, I think, to mess with.
I don't know. I feel like we're starting to see guys come up through the minor league systems a lot faster
now.
More
so than ever, yes.
Yeah.
But still, it's not that often.
I don't know if it's because college is closer to the like higher level of the minor leagues competitively at this point.
Double A? How many college players could hack it in double A? Like if you had a college team play a double A team, they get smoked.
probably the first few rounds worth of guys can at least hold their own in like double A or probably high A more for that range. But like, you know, maybe after 6 months of like high A performance, 1 year even, like you come up, you can probably hit pretty well in double A the year after that. I'm just sort of like estimating that. The true like outlier in that sense has been the Angels for so long, because they just draft the like closest guy that they think to the majors, and they're like, we want to, you know, Sean Yuel, we saw him debut the year he was drafted. Zach Neto, like, and he made the team the next year. Christian Moore, same thing.
I mean, the Angels guys that they do that too have, honestly,
they've been good.
Like, I've been impressed with Sean Yuel a lot. I mean, Zach Neto's a really good baseball player. Like, it's working for them in the regard that the guys that they believe in are effective, but they just still are having the same problems that the Angels always have. But, you know, it's fun to see the kids that they draft like show up immediately, but they are literally the only team that does that.
They're definitely going to do it this year with a college pitcher, because the range that they're in, I think they have pick number 2, if I'm not mistaken. Hold on, let me, I know that the Nationals are picking first, and I'm pretty certain it is the Angels.
Actually, the draft is next week.
The draft is next week, yeah. Yeah, yep. Angels are picking second, and there are so many guys at the top of the board. It's a very pitcher-heavy draft. You have Cade Anderson out of LSU, Jamie Arnold from Florida State, Liam Doyle out of Tennessee. There's a really great high school arm named Seth Hernandez in this draft. I don't really see the Angels taking him, just because that is going to require a lot more development, and that's not really their thing. They want to take a guy who's pretty much just like ready to compete. So I think it will, of course, depend on what Washington does, because one, they just fired their manager, they just fired their GM. So if that shifts what their draft strategy was to begin with, I mean, that could be a factor that like comes into play. But I don't know. There's a lot of like speculation around Ethan Holliday being picked number 1 overall. That would kind of surprise me. Right. I'm not really as high on him as some other guys are. There's so many college arms in this draft that I think we definitely see the Angels take one of them. It's probably going to be Cade Anderson. So, I don't know. Maybe we even see Cade Anderson debut with the Angels by the end of the year. But at the same time, he threw like 130 pitches in game 1 of the College World Series or something insane like that. So, we might just see them do the thing where it's like, we're going to shut you down for the rest of the year, show up next year, probably break camp with the team. He could be their opening day starter next year. It's 100% on the table for an organization.
It
like
is the
that.
Angels.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
You want to talk pitching. first of all, lanes where there's going to be the opportunity for a young kid drafted to make the team, and also a team that desperately needs starting pitching always, it would be the perfect situation for him to end up as the opening day guy.
Nationals could do anything. I have no idea what they're going to do. They could use a pitcher. They could absolutely take a college arm.
If they don't whiff, how good are these Nationals going to end up being? They could win the World Series again in like 2 years.
Hey, maybe if a lot goes right for them. But the Angels will absolutely take a college arm. Seattle, I'd be surprised. Seattle has a lot of good pitching already. They might go with one of these like high upside prep high schoolers. That's kind of who they've
Ethan
been
Holliday
more
is still
likely.
There.
Yeah, they could take Ethan Holliday. We could see Ava Arquette from Oregon State.
I just saw that guy's name today, actually. I just learned about him.
Colorado is 4th. I hope they don't take a pitch. Like, they probably will. I hate seeing them take pitching. I hate it. Cardinals will probably take a pitcher.
They should be forced to take hitters.
They really should. Or they should be forced
it's
to
not
like
fair.
Move. they basically help. Play in the sky. Like, that's
they
not
do play
fair.
In the sky. They play in a place where it's like geographically and like
it's awful.
Know, like physically, not physically like in the way that people use the word physically to like for emphasis. In terms of physics, hard to play baseball there. It doesn't feel fair.
No, it's a completely different like climate physics. Than the rest of the league. Like, you shouldn't be able to do it. Yeah. But on that note, just sort of like a PSA to all of the Mudville listeners out there.
Mudheads.
I've been talking with Nick. We are not going to do a mock draft episode this year. We both just sort of feel like we haven't been as tapped into this draft class as we have been in years past. It's one of the most impressive
things I've seen you guys do. I don't know how you do it at all.
Thank you.
I don't blame you for stepping back.
I appreciate that. But yeah, I don't know. This year I just didn't fully feel like equipped. Didn't feel like I'd have too much to add to the conversation. I think more likely what we will do is watch the draft. I'll probably go pretty hard over the next like 10 days or so in draft mode, really kind of try to like brush up on some of the like, you know, guys in the teen through like 20 range, because I have a pretty decent grasp on like the top 10 at this point, but I just don't really feel like it's in the cards for this year. I just like, if we're giving the people like a mock draft episode, I want to feel, you know, confident in what we're saying. I want to feel pretty good about it, and it's just not really the case this year. So we'll probably do like a recap probably once we see, you know, where some guys land, how the draft shakes out. We'll be back and we'll give a lot of our thoughts in that regard. That I am excited for, but I just don't really feel like a mock draft is the best way to go this year. So apologies if anybody's disappointed about that, but I do think that we'll still be able to say all that we want to say about some of these prospects and, you know, where they land, how we feel about them, how high we are on them. It just will be in a slightly different form. So I think that's about all that I have to say about the draft right now. Do you have anything else to add?
Not on the draft.
All right.
You know, well, that's my weak spot.
Yeah, sure. Fair enough.
I wish all the teams the best of luck in finding their next star.
Yes. Best of luck to all of the people who are picking players and all of the players who are being picked.
Speaking of the draft being during a certain weekend, and speaking of stars and other events happening that weekend, I just found out Jazz Chisholm is going to be in the Home Run Derby.
Oh, he's the last competitor. He has announced. They just broke
breaking
that.
Breaking news on Mudville.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, you heard it here first.
Jazz Chisholm to the Derby.
Jazz Chisholm to the Derby. All right, well, why don't we take a little divergence here? Let's take a look at the Home Run Derby participants. I know we were sort of planning on going through the All-Star starters, but why don't we do the Derby as well? Okay, so they don't have Jazz. Now they do, actually. They've already updated the little graphic here to have Jazz included. So, okay, here are the eight.
You get into the Derby for $200? Tickets are $200, people. Go run. Where to get them?
It's in Atlanta. I can't get to Atlanta. Fun. That's okay.
I feel like it would be fun.
Yeah, it would. Next time it's anywhere.
This is names.
No, it is. It really is.
For this Derby, this is going to be fun.
So, okay, here are the eight competitors who are in the Home Run Derby. We've got Ronald Acuna Jr., Byron Buxton, Junior Caminero, Jazz Chisholm Jr., O'Neill Cruz, Cal Big Dumper Raleigh, Brent Rooker, James Wood. What stands out to you in that group?
Nips are hard, dude. That's like, those are fun names. Like, I'm excited about that. I usually am not like big into, you know, all-star stuff, actually, as we actually just discussed before we started recording. I'm gonna watch this. I'm gonna get keyed in. This is fun. Good, smart call, first of all, by Junior Caminero to like get his Q rating up, have people know who he is. Cal Raleigh agreeing to do it while he's doing what he's doing is wild. Brent Rooker, same deal as Junior Caminero. Like, he's probably one of the better offensive players in the league, definitely is. And people probably have no idea who he is. So get your name out there. Byron Buxton trying to make a comeback. Love that. James Wood and O'Neill Cruz just being giant, like, you know, trying to establish some stuff there. Ronald Acuna Jr. on the Buxton track trying to make a comeback. This is fun. This is like a really fun group. There's a bunch of different storylines here. I like this.
This might be the best Home Run Derby I can think of in a while, at least in terms of the like players involved, because
There's no like, what's he doing here?
No,
like, these are like legit dudes.
Yeah, there's nobody like, oh great, this guy's only here because he's the, you know, hometown player. Acuna is the hometown player. He's in Atlanta, and he's one of the very best hitters in the world, so he's actually the guy I might be most excited to watch in this, coming back from that
James
long
Wood's
injury.
Gonna be fun to watch.
James Wood is going
to
be so much fun to watch. Yeah, I mean, Cruz,
I mean, it's fun stuff.
Cruz has a couple like exit velocities in his career of like 122 miles an hour. So
he cranks a ball when he gets a hand of it.
Here's my question. Is O'Neill Cruz about to kill a child?
He unfortunately might.
I hope
Let's
not.
Have all these people get their kids away from, because you know how like all the players bring their kids out? Like,
yeah.
You know, they used to have the little camcorders out on the sidelines, which, where are those videos? Why have we never seen one of those? Why have we never seen on Reddit, like, Vlad Guerrero Sr.'s brother's handheld camcorder video from the sideline of the 2007 All-Star Game or Home Run Derby? Like, where's that video?
I think what it is fan videos or the children's camcorders cannot be distributed or disseminated without the express written consent of Major League Baseball.
That's fair. It's very fair.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I don't know. Well, best of luck to all of those kids in the outfield. I hope O'Neill Cruz does not drill any of you with a baseball, because that would be terrifying. But yeah, I'm really excited about that derby.
The lineup from last year?
Last year's Home Run Derby?
Yeah, how close
do
you
think? Oh, God, I don't think I'd come very close at all. I don't think I watched it.
Do you remember who won?
Who won? Shit. Who won the derby last year? Let me see if I can think of this. I know it's not Alonso. He won like a couple times in like 2021, 22. But I would guess he was there last year. Was he one of the participants?
He was.
He was. Okay. Damn it. Was it?
I can remind you, it was in Texas last year. Now, this person didn't, the hometown person did not win it, but that does, should give you
Seager?
A hint of at least one person in it. No.
It wasn't Seager?
No.
Semien?
Nope. Think 23 World Series.
That makes me think Seager and Semien.
A different guy who you also should be thinking about if you're going to think that playoff.
Oh, run. It's Adolis Garcia.
It's Adolis Garcia. Garcia. He didn't win.
Of course.
He actually got knocked out in the first round. But
okay, I vaguely remember that. Oh,
as did
God.
Pete Alonso.
Why am I... I think... Did the guy who knocked out Pete Alonso go on to win? You might not know that.
I don't think so. I'm not looking at a bracket, but
all
it
right.
doesn't look
I'm not
like
gonna,
it.
I'm not going to draw this out too long. Why don't you just tell me who won?
Teoscar Hernandez won.
Oh, my
if
God.
If you recall.
I don't recall.
Yeah, shocking. Bobby Witt.
Yep.
Alec Bohm. Adolis Garcia. Teoscar Hernandez. Pete Alonso. Jose Ramirez. Marcelo Zuna. And Gunnar Henderson. On paper, not a bad one, but I don't see that and think like, oh, thumpers.
No, me neither. I like this year's field a lot better. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah,
I have no memory of Teoscar Hernandez winning the Home Run Derby.
No, that
would not have been on my radar anywhere. I would have guessed like several catchers before I got to him.
I feel like I remember the final being fun.
Yeah,
like
me
was,
too.
Or maybe it was the semifinal. Like, something fun happened at one point. It might have been the final. I don't remember it being, like, a fun thing that happened overall.
No, me neither. Well, yeah. That's the Home Run Derby. I'm excited for this year. I think we got a lot of real mashers in the lineup. I'm excited to watch the fireworks happen. Want to go through the list of All-Star starters real quick, see if anything stands out, any particular snubs?
I think that's the best way to go from here.
It's always kind of interesting looking over these lists, because it's like fan voting comes into the mix, and it's kind of like there's been favoritism at play in the past. I don't know if anybody remembers that one year where for the longest time the voting was filled with like seven Kansas City Royals, especially the ones even had like no place in the All-Star game whatsoever. So it can be a little bit skewed, you know, take these lists with a grain of salt. Without further ado, here are the list of starters for the American League. At catcher, it is Cal Raleigh. First base is Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Second base is Detroit's very own Gleyber Torres. At third base, we have the aforementioned Jose Ramirez. At shortstop, we have an interesting one. It is Rookie of the Year candidate out in Sacramento, Mr. Jacob Wilson. In the outfield, we have Aaron Judge, Riley Green, and Javier Baez. And
that's
at the DH position, we have Ryan O'Hearn from the Baltimore Orioles. Now, Brody, what comes to mind for you when you hear
Javi
that?
Javi Baez.
Yeah.
Like, Javi Baez starting
that shit's crazy.
In center is wild. Good for him. Good for the Tigers. Good for Tigers fans. That is probably... I was going to write that contract off so hard as being like probably the worst in baseball. or at least one of them. And I know what you're thinking, Xander Bogaerts. However, Javi Baez, I think, had been worse than Xander Bogaerts could even imagine being, like negative war and like just terrible all around. So now all of a sudden he's a starting or a starter in the All-Star game. Now, granted, it's only 2 years left in that contract, but still wild. Good for Javi Baez. Good for the Tigers. Good for Tigers fans. That's a very long suffering fan base that now they get to have some fun this year. Good for them.
Because you weren't here for our central preview, so I would have said this with Nick, but before the year, I said Javier Baez is not a major league player anymore. And I don't even like regret saying that. I think at the time it was a pretty valid judgment. So he has totally surprised everyone this year, me included. And you got to give credit to him for like reviving his career, you know, getting at least one more quality like big league season out of a guy that, you know, we thought was done. We thought this didn't have the plate approach, didn't have the tools that he once had, and you know, he moved his position. He was a long time shortstop, now he's playing in center field, and he's the starting center fielder for the American League in the All-Star game.
And what on the same vein, Riley Green next to him has been a guy that we've been saying for like 2 years needs to have that season where, you know, here he is, finally he's breaking out. Good for him that he actually ends up, I think he's been he's had an All-Star season before. I don't think he started, though. But good that there's a reason the Tigers are winning so much.
Yeah.
Green, Gleyber Torres, Javi Baez, all starting the All-Star game.
The one thing I will say is I can't say that I agree with Jacob Wilson over Bobby Witt Jr. Like, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. If you look at the stats, Wilson has been slightly more productive at the plate than Witt. And this is just kind of, you know, my own, like, personal philosophy. I'm just not a big Jacob Wilson guy. Like, he has an incredible hit tool. Like, he makes more contact than basically anybody in the league, and he's 22, 23 years old. So I think he's going to be a big league starter for a very long time. But he doesn't impact the ball with a ton of quality contact. And I think he has gotten a big boost from the fact that he plays in a minor league ballpark in Sacramento.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's sort of inflated his power numbers a little bit. You know, I don't know how many home runs, for example, he would have if he played for, like, any other team. I think he's got about 10 right now with the Athletics. I don't have that figure in front of me.
Nine.
Okay.
Yep. I'm checking his splits to see how I'm going to weigh on that, too.
Yeah, you know, he's got one of the biggest gaps between WOBA and ex-WOBA. Like,
he has four on the road.
Metrics.
So unless some of those are in Tampa.
Fair enough.
Half are in major league ballparks.
The floor for Bobby Witt is, I think, higher than the ceiling for Jacob Wilson. And that's kind of all, that's pretty close to what we've seen from these two guys this year. Like, not to say that Witt has had like a particularly bad year, but he hasn't exactly, you know, been able to like replicate the performance that he did last year when he was being considered sort of a 1A, 1B MVP with Aaron Judge, you know, by some.
Right. He like, has not had like the headline stealing season
exactly.
This year that he did last year. Yeah.
But
although
like,
he is leading
defender.
The league in doubles.
Okay. Maybe leading the league in doubles.
Homers.
He's gone on a bit of a power binge recently, so he's gotten those numbers up, but
he's only hitting .295. So yeah.
Witt is a better hitter than Jacob Wilson. He's a better fielder. He's a better runner. I mean, he does everything on the field better than Jacob Wilson, and he hasn't had so much of an outlier season that I think it's justified to say that Jacob Wilson playing at like his very ceiling can be the all-star starter over Witt at shortstop. Like, you know, maybe it's just kind of like Witt's going to be in there 10 out of the next 12 years. Why don't we give it to the rookie? Like, if that's your argument, okay, whatever. I'm not going to really like argue with that. I don't particularly agree with it, but that is just sort of something that stands out to me as not something that I particularly agree with. And then Ryan O'Hearn as the DH, I think, is a little surprising. This is 100% because Rafael Devers got traded to the National League.
It's, you know what? People did not really discuss the All-Star implications of having a lead getter or vote getter transfer leagues in the middle of the All-Star voting. So it's, you know, now we are stuck with Ryan O'Hearn.
If they still use the All-Star game to determine home field advantage in the World Series, that could potentially have been the biggest fuck you from the Red Sox to whoever makes the World Series out of the American League. It's like,
how wild is it that that was even a thing, by the way? That is such a massive, important thing in the terms of a baseball
that's
season.
That's so, like, irresponsible. All-star
game.
Like, that's nuts. That is,
that's insane.
That's really, like, God, one of the things where you God look back stuff. On and you're like, what the hell were we doing there?
What?
That how shit did, is who approved crazy.
This? How did that happen? It's fun. Ryan O'Hearn, by the way, a 840 OPS so far. 138 OPS plus. Having a good year. 11 homers, 286 average. He's got 32 RBIs, which 11 homers and 32 RBIs with a 286 average. What is happening? Is there no one on base? Is he hitting ninth? How is this happening?
Baltimore's been like, so bad this year, I guess.
Man, 13 doubles.
Well, you know. I think probably.
Bobby Witt, by the way. 76 strikeouts or 79 strikeouts to 29 walks in 94 games. That feels high. I actually didn't realize that Bobby Witt was such a he strikes out a lot. And like compared to Jacob Wilson, Jacob Wilson has 26 strikeouts this season.
Yeah, Jacob Wilson does not hot. Strike out. That is 100%
26 strikeouts to 20 walks in 85 games, 357 plate appearances. 26 strikeouts is that's like sexy.
Yeah, okay, so Witt, he's striking out 19.4% of the time right now. Last year, it was exactly 15%, and his walk rate, pretty similar, has gone down from 8% to 7.1%. His ISO went down from 256 to 206. His average has gone from 332 to 295. And then, I don't know, another thing that I like look at is last year, 410 WOBA, 407 ex-WOBA, so like right around what you'd expect. This year, 358 WOBA, 384 ex-WOBA. So not only is he sort of getting a bit, quote-unquote, unlucky, Jacob Wilson, I think, is getting a bit lucky.
His ex-stats, other than XBA, which he's really high in, but yeah, other than that, his ex-stats are not great.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Jacob Wilson, but 370.
He also is a profile that never looks good for expected stats, which, say what you will, I might be biased, you know that I like these kinds of hitters. Mm-hmm. I don't think guys who make like weaker contact or have like multiple different swings and not like, you know, a one type swing kind of guy. I enjoy that stuff.
Yeah, me too.
They never look good on expected stats just because it can't account for guys who are somewhat good at placing the ball, I think. So I don't know.
That's true. I mean, some guys just like always sort of play like above or below their expected stats. Like,
yeah. A slow bat guy Paredes, like Luis Arraez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like Jacob Wilson, 370 WOBA, 312 ex-WOBA. That's a huge difference. And if you'll bear with me for a second, I'd like to see who are some other guys around the range of a 312 ex-WOBA. So according to the expected stats, Jacob Wilson should be having around the same production as Luis Renjifo with a 62 WRC+. Luis Robert, also with a 62 WRC+. Brenton Doyle with a 50. Kyle Manzardo with a 99. Anthony Volpe with a 91. Lawrence Butler with a 110. Mike Yastrzemski with a 105. Josh Young is above him with a 314 ex-WOBA and an 81 WRC+. Jacob Wilson's WRC+ is 135. So... like, I don't know, you know, maybe he's just a guy that's going to outproduce that his entire career. Maybe his hit tool is so good, he never ever strikes out. Maybe that's just who he is. Maybe he's a player who beats that expected metric for his whole career. Or it's incredibly possible that you see some pretty major regression from him. And like I said, I think he's a guy with like a very high floor. I think we're going to see him in the league for a long time, but I also think it's very possible that like a year from now, maybe 2 years from now, we look back and we say, wait, how the hell did Jacob Wilson start the All-Star game over Bobby Witt Jr.?
If you compare Jacob Wilson and Bobby Witt on Savant and you look at their heat maps for exit velocity above or equal to 105 miles an hour, and you look at Bobby Witt's, it looks like a regular like strike zone heat map where you're used to seeing like a bunch of pitches around the middle of the zone. And then if you look at Jacob Wilson's, it's three. There's like three like bullseye targets. So to your point that you were saying, like, they're very different kinds of hitters. So maybe, you know, maybe it's not sustainable, or maybe it's, if you don't hit the ball that hard, obviously it's harder to find holes. So who knows? It could be evidence of a future aberration, but it's just kind of funny to see these compared this way.
No, I completely agree.
It's still fun for a year even then, because Bobby Witt probably is going to start the All-Star game for like 8 out of the next 10 years. So
yeah,
why not throw in a different guy here?
Now moving on to the National League, their All-Star game starting lineup will be catcher Will Smith, first baseman Freddie Freeman, also from the Dodgers, second base Ketel Marte, third base Manny Machado, shortstop Francisco Lindor, outfield of Ronald Acuna, Pete Crow Armstrong, and Kyle Tucker, and the DH is Mr. Shohei Ohtani. So what do you see there?
No surprises. I think that's probably my biggest takeaway. This is just like a good solid all-star team for the NL. Like, this is not, I don't think there's anything particularly fun in here except maybe Pete Crow Armstrong getting his first nod for, or what seems like is going to be a fun career for the Cubs. Other than that, I feel like this is like the same team that has been ran out for, I don't know, the last like 5 or 6 all-star games for the National League. Like, these are the same guys. I will also say, obviously, no Soto is interesting. If we want to do the snub talk here, I think it fits. But at the same time, only one Met being in here is surprising, considering how the Mets were projected to be one of the better teams in the National League, and Lindor being the only one to start. Alonso is a reserve, so, you know, sure. I don't know, but, like, Francisco Alvarez was supposed to be, like, a really big star for the Mets. He's currently in AAA. Like,
yeah,
you got,
he's,
you know, Pete Alonso not, he had a good start to the season. He's not playing great. And recently, Juan Soto not being on the All-Star team is surprising. I don't really care that much. He had a bad start to the year. His numbers are now back to kind of where you'd expect them a little bit. Average is still down. But his stat cast is like bright red. Nothing jumping off the page here. Other than Kyle Tucker also being in the National League. I should mention, I said same thing for the last few years. Kyle Tucker was in the AL, but you get the idea.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty fun combination of like old and new names, because like the infield in particular, these are the guys that you would definitely expect from like maybe a few years past. Will Smith returning. Freddie Freeman has been a constant presence here from his time with the Braves, his last few years with LA. Ketel Marte, just very, like, obviously the best second baseman in the league. Yep. He missed a bunch of time this year. That does not matter. He is very obviously the guy who should be starting at second base there.
He's so good.
He's amazing.
You know how Jose Ramirez for years has been the most underrated player in baseball? I do think it might be Ketel Marte.
I think that's pretty fair. I think that he definitely has a case. Manny Machado, classic veteran. Francisco Lindor, guy who has been in this range for the past few years, ever since he got traded. Tucker being traded in the offseason from Houston, guy that I think, you know, should have been a perennial all-star for the American League for a while, now moves over to the NL. And then PCA, you know, 100% deserved here. You know, he could even win the MVP award if it was announced today. Like, another profile there where it's like you would expect him to fall off a little bit, like a guy who should be incredible for years to come because he's such a good fielder, such a good runner. But I wouldn't have expected him to have like 25 home runs like he hit today. He hit 2 more home runs this afternoon. And I just, it's almost a little bit like baffling to see, you know, the fact that he's a guy that like chases so much. He has quite a bit of like swing and miss in his game, but it really just like doesn't matter. He like shakes all that off, and he has been maybe the best player in the National League this year. The one thing I would say, I don't agree with Acuna starting here, because as good as he's been, yeah, that's true, and it's Atlanta, but as good as he's been in the time since he's come back from injury, like his maybe 6 weeks now, I think is about the amount of time, James Wood has done it all year. It's crazy to me that he's not in this starting lineup. It should be an outfield of Tucker, PCA, and James Wood. I think if you're a Nationals fan, if you're James Wood himself, you have a lot of reason to be pretty upset about that. He should be in the starting lineup for this team. And then Ohtani's Ohtani. You can't argue with that.
James Wood has 4.5 WAR this season already.
Yeah. James Wood should 100% be in the starting lineup.
Granted, Acuna's got 2.1, actually. That was fast for 41 games. But yeah, like you said, it should be either James Wood, I think, or, I mean, if you want to go the way. I'm surprised it's not Soto, just because, like, having a New York audience voting for you, you'd think.
Yeah.
Or the players voting you, or the league voting you, being a big market and big star, the whole thing, which I think is probably why Acuña ends up getting the nod, just because it isn't Atlanta and they probably should have a starter. But it does feel like it's at the expense of a young star like James Wood or a superstar like Juan Soto. So I don't know. It's rough. I guess there's nowhere else that you could stick a Brave, really, other than in Wright.
Yeah. Now for the pitchers. So the American League All-Star pitching staff, we've got Hunter Brown, Chris Bubich. I still don't know how to pronounce that. Bubich. Aroldis Chapman, of course.
Hilarious.
Garrett Crochet, Jacob DeGrom, Max Fried, Josh Hader, Yusei Kikuchi. Yeah.
I say Kikuchi.
Andres Munoz, Tarek Skubal, Shane Smith, Brian Wu, and Joe Ryan. I wouldn't argue with a lot of this. Hunter Brown 100% deserves it. Chris Bubich 100% deserves it. Chapman, I mean, shitty guy. You can't really argue with the performance, though. He's 37. He's still able to pump 100. Sox seem to have fixed his control issues. He has had pinpoint command all season. Can't argue with him being here. Garrett Crochet, 100%. Jacob DeGrom, Fried, 100% deserve it. Josh Hader, yeah, I guess. Kikuchi, I don't know about this one. What do you think about Kikuchi's placement in the All-Star game?
Let me pull up his numbers, because it's been, you know, is he the one Angel that we have?
Yes. So I guess that's why.
Okay, so there's your reason. So, you know, I guess it's fair. Again, I feel like you could have had one of the other guys that we mentioned earlier, you know, be like a reserve or something, like a Neto or a Shanyu. I feel like they've been good enough to get that. I mean, Kikuchi's got a 3.0 ERA. Let's see, 19 games started. He's started the most games at the moment. So keep that in mind. He's got more than anybody else. So 107 innings pitched, 110 strikeouts. I don't know. He's not really doing anything super special, and he's not really doing anything that bad. He's Yusei Kikuchi.
Like, yeah. You
know, he's having a Yusei season. If you're going to have a guy from the team, it's not a bad call. He is leading the Angels in wins above replacement. Zach Neto is second. Yusei's at 3.0. Neto's at 2.6. So, like, fair. They need a guy. So if you're going to do it, I guess you go Kikuchi. But it doesn't really feel like he should be in, I guess, overall. I'm more surprised that Joe Ryan is in here. I feel like that's another guy that we always say, like, you're waiting on him to have a season where it's like, hey, that guy's good, right? And then you look at the numbers like, yeah, kind of. And then finally this year, it's like, okay, like, yeah, Joe Ryan's having a good year and good for the Twins because they need pitching help. So other than that, I have no qualms, really, I guess, other than Chapman making it again. I don't know. Like, how many closers do you need? You got Hader and Munoz out there. You need another one? Sure. I don't know. It's, yeah, I don't know. The pitchers are fine. Like, Brian Wu being the one guy from the Mariners is surprising.
No, Julio made it.
Closer. No. I mean, starter.
But oh, okay.
That is, you know, I would think that there would be, like, at least two, maybe three. But, yeah, Brian Wu being the guy is kind of fun. Who would have seen that coming a couple years ago?
Yeah, I mean, I love Brian Wu. I think he's awesome.
He is awesome.
Totally deserving. He's been their best pitcher this year. You know, Kirby's been hurt for a while. Logan Gilbert's spent some time on the IL.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. You know, he's better than Luis Castillo at this point for sure. And then who's the other one? Who's the other guy I'm forgetting? The other
Evans starter?
No. There's another guy. Kirby, Gilbert, Castillo, Wu, and
Emerson Hancock.
No.
Bryce Miller.
Bryce Miller. Yeah, that's right. Bryce Miller's been terrible. He was on the IL for a while.
Rough year.
I think his elbow might be cooked. Kikuchi, like, not to, you know, harp on expected stats too much, he's another guy that's completely outperforming it, where it's like he's got a 3.02 ERA, expected ERA of 4.16, walking 10% of the guys he's faced this year. I think this could kind of be like another case of, like, we're going to look at this moving forward and we're going to feel like Neto should have been the guy who gets in, because I think he's going to have a much better second half to the year than Kikuchi. And one of those things where it's like, yeah, we have the All-Star game halfway through the season, so the second half like doesn't have any impact on who gets to be an All-Star or not. And I wouldn't be surprised if Kikuchi has the kind of like second half where it's sort of like, oh, he was an All-Star, okay, that's interesting. Another thing with just that, you know, you got to have one guy from each team. Shane Smith, I don't think should be here. Like, no disrespect to Shane Smith.
I just have a feeling he's the White Sox guy. I'm going to leave be, but it's fair.
I think we need to put an end to that rule, honestly. Like, I know it's like, you know, no matter where you are, you want to see a guy from your team in the All-Star game.
You know, like, yeah, you want to have someone, like, you want to have a reason to have, like, a kid who's a White Sox fan at least know who their guy is, you know?
Yeah, but is a kid who's a White Sox fan that hyped about Shane Smith right now? I mean, I don't know. I just don't think any kids in Chicago right now are like, Rule 5 draft, Rule 5 draft. I just like,
yeah, fair enough. He's been good. Been Luis Robert, really. I know he's having
and
a
he's been
year,
awful.
But, like,
he's the guy you need think a would be guy. There. Yeah.
So, you know, he's who actually, wait, who's, is Shane Smith the White Sox number one guy in war?
Maybe. It could be like Martin.
It's not. I'm curious. No, you're never going to get it. I want to make you guess, but it won't happen. It's Adrian Hauser.
That makes sense. He's been good. He should be here over Shane Smith. No, but that, now that you say it, it's like, yeah, he's actually had a surprisingly good season.
It probably should be Adrian Hauser. He's got a 1.56 ERA in 9 starts, 57 innings. Like, it's, you know.
Yeah, he should be here with Shane Smith, 100%.
It's only 39 strikeouts, and, like, you know, he walks a decent amount of people, but he's getting it done.
Yeah, he sure does. But,
we don't talk enough.
Framber Valdez, did he miss the All-Star game? Did I not say? Yeah, why is it Framber Valdez here? Like, that's the kind of thing where it's like, why do we have this rule where you have to have a guy from each team? Because Framber Valdez 100% deserves to be in the All-Star game, and Shane Smith, frankly, does not. You say Kikuchi does not. And
I do like the implication then that you have like weird All-Stars. It's fun, but it is
Carlos Rodon too. I mean, he's having a better season than either of those guys.
He's had a very good season.
Yeah.
Clark Schmidt would have deserved it had he not had to go down with Tommy John. He's had a great year. Like, there's a bunch of guys. It's, you know,
more than,
like,
Shane Smith, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's I don't know, Nate Eovaldi's had a good year too. Like, there's a bunch of guys that you could say, like, it's, I don't know. Actually, Nate Eovaldi's had like a really good year.
Yeah, why is he not? That's crazy.
You could make an argument that he could, well, if Skubal was not so good,
he 100% should be in the All-Star game. Why is he
Eovaldi
not?
Eovaldi has had an amazing year. So,
that's,
I don't
crazy.
Know. It's tough.
Whatever.
Actually,
right.
How did DeGrom get in over Eovaldi?
No, DeGrom's, he deserves it. He's not the one I'm going to.
Is DeGrom
pinpoint.
Doing DeGrom things this year again?
He's Let's been see. Really good. Yeah, he's been really good.
His numbers are not better, though.
No. Like,
Eovaldi's are better.
Eovaldi That's should amazing. Be there, but he's not the kind of guy that I would point to. All right.
God. If you're a fastball guy, by the way, like a fastball run value guy, a savant run value guy, Brian Wu had the number one 100th percentile fastball. Nate Eovaldi's 96th. Which he's 35.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like,
that's amazing.
That's not nothing. That's very impressive. Good for him.
All right, moving on to the NL pitching staff for the All-Star game. We've got, in alphabetical order, Jason Adam from the Padres, Matthew Boyd, Edwin Diaz, Mackenzie Gore, Clayton Kershaw was named as the legend pick, whatever the hell that means.
What is a legend pick?
I don't know. I feel like Clayton Kershaw is the kind of guy who's probably spent all year like railing against DEI. So this feels like that the equivalent of that. I don't think he should be here at all.
He's the DEI choice.
He's the DEI All-Star.
We need an old white dude.
Yeah. We got to get the boomer vote. So bring Clayton Kershaw to the All-Star game. Freddie Peralta
is
here.
I guess this is like trying to get, like, how Jeter went in his last year, but Jeter also got voted in. So Kershaw didn't get voted in. We're just like,
we think he's fun.
The commissioner gets to just choose that Clayton Kershaw gets to go to the All-Star game. Okay, sure. Sure. Why not?
Robbie Ray, Randy Rodriguez, both from the Giants. Chris Sale, who is hurt and will need a replacement. They probably named that already. Paul Skeens, of course. Logan Webb.
Andrew Abbott, by the way. Andrew Abbott is the replacement.
Oh, okay. He's on here already. Right. So they I think they have a little plus here next to the guys who are replacement. So I'm already seeing them on here. So okay. Yeah. Logan Webb, Zach Wheeler, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, and then the additions for the injuries are Robert Suarez from the Padres, Andrew Abbott, Trevor Megill, and David Peterson. So
yep.
That all kind of tracks to me. I don't really see anybody here that I'm like, no. I think this is all kind of fine. Like, is there anybody who necessarily got snubbed, do we think?
For pitchers? Also, Suarez was actually the replacement for Chris Sale, by the way. That's my bad.
Oh, okay. That's all good.
Not that jumps to mind. I mean, this is... the fact that David Peterson made it is surprising, to be honest. He's been very good this year. I just didn't think that he was, like, known enough to get in there. Had a very good year, though, but it's still surprising.
Yeah, I think he deserves it at this point.
Michael King has had a very good season.
He's been hurt for a long time now.
I know, but he still could, is he hurt currently?
Yes.
Okay, actually, so never mind. That's fair. I don't know.
Grant Holmes.
Gray has had a decent year.
We could put Clay Grant Holmes
has been
in
falling
here.
Off, though.
No. Grant Holmes.
Oh, Grant Holmes.
Grant Holmes, not Clay.
I don't know. Wait, where's the...
3.44 ERA, 102 innings, 10.41 K per nine. He's had too many walks, but he's one of the Braves' best pitchers all year when they've had so many injuries. Like, Chris Sale out, Schwellenbach out, Spencer Strider kind of took a while to, like, recover from his injury. I mean, Grant Holmes has been the guy, and the Braves have sucked, so it's like maybe that's not the argument I think it is, but I don't know. I think you can make the case for him to be here. Mitch Keller, I mean, 3.10 win-loss, so that's not his fault. Paul Skenes is like 4.7. It's definitely long-time Mudville listeners know I'm not a very big Mitch Keller fan, but he does have a 3.58 ERA and 113 innings alongside Skenes. You know, he's been there too, as he kind of should be in Jared Jones' absence, but I don't know. You could probably make the case for him to be there over, like, I don't know. I guess all these guys, I don't really have... problem yeah, with any of them being
it's
here.
Fine
I think like, it's all good.
Wait, who's the Rockies representative?
Hunter Goodman.
So their catcher,
yeah,
the backup catcher.
No, he's had a good
the backup
year.
I'm saying the backup catcher for the All-Star game.
He's the backup.
That's
catcher.
The only spot that the Rockies
yep
could get in.
Only one.
That's rough, and it's a shame because you do need a representative, which means it's not going to be a pitcher because it's the Rockies. So the fact that the only guy they could throw out there is a catcher is, you know.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Hunter, he's had a good year. Like, I don't really have a problem with him being here. He's just really ugly, and I don't want to look at him in the All-Star game.
Wait, I actually don't think I know what he looks
look
like.
Look at his beard,
you know,
is
I gotta
awful.
Admit, I don't watch a lot of Rocky ball.
No, it's okay. I don't think that's an indictment on you in any form. I don't watch a lot of Rocky ball either.
That's a tough beard.
Yeah, it's terrible.
If you don't know,
it's like
he's got
Verdugo,
Amish, like,
but worse.
Yeah, he's got like the rainbow cut.
Like, yeah,
the chin strap. God, ugh. Yeah, fair enough.
God damn,
it is Verdugo-y. It's the redness. It's
yeah,
definitely the
is.
Redness. But yeah, I don't know. I think this is fair. Like, guys who same thing with the AL, good mix of veterans and closers and new guys, and you know, a few guys having like a good year who have been around who don't usually get the chance to go. I feel okay with this. This is fun stuff. Who's starting?
Starter is... Has that been named? Do we know who the... I think the, like,
well, I guess
managers...
Because I know that Scooble is starting.
It's probably Zach Wheeler.
Probably.
He deserves it.
Unless it's going to be... No, it's not going to be... could it be Yamamoto? Because
no.
Roberts is managing?
There's no, he wouldn't do that. Skenes got it last year.
Skenes has been but Skenes having kind of like not a, it's like having an okay year.
No, Skenes is having an amazing year. He just gets no runs of support every time he's on the mound.
I know, but I'm saying like compared to like what I think people were expecting out of him.
I think he's done what people have expected. It's just his team is so bad.
Oh, actually,
his numbers are amazing.
Fantastic. I haven't looked at them really, but okay. So that's the thing.
It should
by
be
the way,
Wheeler.
Skenes has the 98th percentile fastball and run value. Brian Wu is 100th. I just want to point that out again.
Like, yeah, Brian Wu, dude.
Has a better fastball than Paul Skenes this year. Wild.
He's a stud.
You know, fun stuff. But yeah, I mean, his numbers are incredible. He probably should be starting the All-Star game this year. Let me look at the let me look at him compared to Wheeler. That's I'm saying that because I don't think Wheeler's could even be close.
No, they are, honestly. He's amazing.
They are and they aren't.
In what sense?
Actually, ooh, wait. He's got way more strikeouts. Same amount of innings.
Okay.
125 strikeouts to 148 strikeouts for Wheeler.
Yeah.
Wheeler's got a better whip.
I think this is his like Cy Young season because he's never won it. And he has, like he said, he's going to retire after 2027. So I think this is his year.
I bet you're right. This is, yeah, his numbers are really good. Top 4% in XBA. Let's see. Top 2% in XWOBA allowed. That's fun.
Yeah. No, he deserves it.
All right. Yeah. Probably Wheeler. That's good stuff. Probably he's 35. Wheeler. So I think he's ever going to do it. This would be the time. You're right.
I don't think this has been announced yet. Forgive me if I'm wrong, but we're definitely looking at Scoobal versus Zach Wheeler for the All-Star starters.
Yeah, which is fun. Definitely. That's, I could get into that. That's very fun.
So now we're going to move on to the reserve. So these are the guys who made the All-Star team, but of course are not in the starting lineup. Go through who made it, who deserved it, who maybe got snubbed real quick. So why don't we start with the American League? So the reserve catcher is Alejandro Kirk. The infielders are Jonathan Aranda, Alex Bregman, who has been hurt for quite a while but is returning this weekend, Jazz Chisholm Jr., Brandon Lau, Jeremy Pena, Bobby Witt Jr., Junior Caminero, Isak Paredes, Zach McKinstry. So those last three were named as replacements. So Caminero, Paredes, and McKinstry came up to replace injured guys. And then in the outfield, it is Byron Buxton, Stephen Kwan, and Julio Rodriguez, and the DH Brent Rooker. Those are your American League reserve all-stars. Is there anything there that stands out to you?
Yeah, Caminero making it is fun for his first real full year. Zach McKinstry being involved. I know he's a replacement. Let's see. But he's been for Jeremy Pena, which makes sense. Paredes, I guess, is kind of interesting because after last year being terrible, he's able to turn it around. And in general, the Astros are going to be a conversation soon we should be prepared to have because they are really starting to get scary. But yeah, I don't know. I think in general, like, that's fine. His year hasn't been fantastic. He's got 19 homers. That's probably why. But yeah, I don't know. I think that's kind of it. The only names that really pop out. Maybe like Buxton doing it again. This is only Buxton's second All-Star game, by the way.
It makes sense. He's always hurt.
I know, but that is like, I would have thought at least like four or five.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. Yeah, I mean, there are definitely some names here of note that I think you got to mention. Alejandro Kirk is now a two-time All-Star. That's kind of wild. Like, I would not expect that, you know, just kind of like looking at his career, but
I just accept that he's always better than you expect. You
know, he is,
than you think he should be.
Well, he looks like a fire hydrant. Surprising.
Exactly. That's why he's a thumb. Like, he's what? Daniel Vogelbach minus half a foot. So, like,
the Blue Jays always roster guys who I think look like thumbs. I don't know if you remember Trent Thornton a while back. I went to a Yankees Blue Jays game. I was like, dude, this is the most thumb looking guy ever.
He was very thumb-like. Now they always Kirk. Do. I mean, look at their manager.
Yeah. A thumb with hair.
Just a bunch of thumbs.
The hairy thumb. Aranda, 100% deserved. Bregman, I mean,
Blue Jays are in first, by the way. I also should throw that out. That's probably a big part of it, too. A first-place team is going to end up with...
They've been going crazy.
A lot of good seasons, too, out of that team. So, you know, they're getting a lot of good performances.
Like,
Ernie Clement had an argument to be on this team. Addison Barger has been good recently. Like, Springer is having a great year. Like, little renaissance there. Like, there's...
100%.
They got some guys that you could throw in here. Shit's having a decent year again.
Springer should be here. I can't believe Springer's not here.
Springer probably should
be here. He should be here over Julio. Surprising. Julio has not
had a good year at all. Did Julio get in on voting? He must have.
I don't know. I'm not sure, but like, I don't know why he's here. I mean, even like Cody Bellinger has been better defensive. Than him.
Like, he's got a 3-3 WAR, and it Sedan has to be from the defense.
Rafaela has been significantly better than Julio too, and he's not here. I think he might deserve it even more than his teammate Alex Bregman, who, I mean, he's been great, but he's been hurt like over half the year.
Right.
So it's like, I'm a little surprised that he got voted in. And Jazz deserves it. Another guy who's like missed a bunch of time, but he came back and he's crushing the ball. Like, look at his stats. He deserves to be here. Brandon Lau had a really slow start, but I mean, he's back. I mean, I feel like he's kind of another like fringe guy that, you know, I could have seen him not being here. I could have seen his spot going to like Rafaela, like we said. Maybe like, who's another guy that maybe could belong here? Mikel Garcia. I'm surprised he's not here.
That's a good one. Trent Grisham's had a good year.
He has.
And you can make the argument.
I don't think I'd go that far with Grish, but you could make the argument. Jeremy Pena, I see his name.
He's hurt.
He's hurt, but it's another guy that I would start over Jacob Wilson if he was healthy. I'm not trying to throw too much
really
shade
hate
at Will.
Jake Wilson.
I don't love him. I don't love, like, I'm sure he's a great guy. I'm sure if I met Jacob Wilson.
I'm not. He's a baseball player.
Yo, that's so
Rob
fair.
Rob Snyder shook Donald Trump's
hand
the
so
other day.
Fair.
I just looked it up. He seemed like he would have been a good dude. You never know.
God. It makes sense for the reigning World Series champions to visit the White House. Oh, wait, what's this? I'm getting a note from my intern here. Let me just open this up. Oh, it appears that the Boston Red Sox were 500 last year and did not make the playoffs.
They just decided they wanted to go see a fascist.
They were in it for the love of the game. They were like, we got to celebrate the big, beautiful Bill. Here at the Mudville podcast, the only big, beautiful Bill we acknowledge is Billy Butler.
Nice.
So
he's the one that matters.
He's the one. Where were you when he saved the season?
Where were you? For those who don't know, and which is all of you, I don't think we've ever told that story on the pod, but Billy Butler came to join, we had a whole thing with that.
Billy Butler saved the season.
He did. He's one of those guys, which, by the way, that would be another fun list to do as an episode of just like, dude, you forgot we're on a certain team at one point, or like, what the hell were you doing there?
That'd
like,
be fun, yeah.
One. Yeah, I don't know. Jazz is also interesting because this year he's been like incredible. Like, okay, actually they've got a graphic up right now. He's tied for fifth in WAR since July of last year.
Wow.
For the league. That's impressive.
Since the trade. I mean, that's when the Yankees got him.
Basically. So you gotta really appreciate that the guy, like, he's gotten calls of overrated in the past, but he's lived up to
overrated.
The talent that he has this year.
Not overrated. No way.
Having a good year.
It just took him a little while to have that true breakout, in part because of injuries, in part because he was on the fucking Marlins. So, but he's here now. I love seeing Byron Buxton here. I think Kwan probably deserves it. I mean, he's been
haven't looked at his numbers.
Does Kwan deserve it, actually?
Right.
He's not having that good of a season.
Six homers, 7.58 OPS. He's got...
That's another guy I'd put Sedan Rafaela over, to be honest.
100th percentile arm value,
I guess,
but
that's maybe
his range
why.
Is bad. Like, his fielding run is 79th percentile. His batting run is 69th percentile. This year, he's not having, like, the year. And this is another name, by the way, that, like, if the Guardians actually do end up selling, because they really are having a bad year. I don't know if you've, like,
I've been
keyed
in
on what's going on in Cleveland.
I predicted this, by the way. I did the Cleveland preview for Pinstripe Alley. That was the only one I did, and I was like, I think they're going to be bad this year, and I'm going to victory lap that.
Yeah, it's very fair. I would actually like to go see what I said about them, because I feel like I don't remember being super high on them, just because they're pitching.
I don't think you said anything, because you weren't here for the Central.
Oh, I wasn't here for the Central.
Yeah,
yeah, you're right. Either way, I wasn't impressed with their pitching before the season started. I remember that at least, but still not. I mean, that's like, they needed Tanner Bibee to be the guy.
Yeah.
And, like, he's not the guy. So, you know.
He's not. Always not.
Yeah. I don't know. And also, like, they traded away a bunch of power. I remember saying that at least. Was I talking about that? I guess it wasn't on the preview. But they traded away a bunch of power for nothing.
Yeah, so, you know, they did.
And defense. So that's what's going to happen.
I
for
was
a team that
not impressed with that team's offseason one bit.
We're not great hitters. Yeah.
No.
No, absolutely not. But yeah, I mean, if they end up wanting to sell off, like, if Kwan is one of the guys, or, I mean, Kwan would get a huge package. I mean, I don't think they would sell off Jose Ramirez. I guess that's fair to say. Maybe could you get something to, if you shipped Carlos Santana off to go be a DH somewhere? Actually, he's not even hitting that well. I mean, yeah, there would be a conversation about what they could get for some of these guys. It'd be fun.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I mean, maybe they will trade Ramirez. I don't think so, but hey, anything's possible. I don't like Cleveland's ownership. Or Cleveland, for that matter.
Possible. Nobody likes Cleveland. It's Cleveland.
Even Cleveland doesn't like Cleveland.
Cleveland doesn't like Cleveland. The problem is, you know, how people, like, if you criticize something that people care about from the outside, everyone's like, you know, hey, like, we, you know, that's, it's, we, like, can say you, that. Can't, you can't say,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Clevelanders might get mad, like, at us for,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, but Cleveland, I think, might say that's fair.
Maybe you're right. All right, I guess we should move on to the NL reserves here.
Yeah.
So, okay, the reserves for the National League, position players who made the team but will not be starting, the aforementioned Hunter Goodman, the man with the worst beard ever. Their infielders are Pete Alonso, Ellie De La Cruz, Brendan Donovan, Matt Olson, Eugenio Suarez, and in the outfield you have Corbin Carroll, Kyle Stowers, Fernando Tatis Jr., James Wood, and the DH Kyle Schwarber. That, honestly, all
that
checks out to me. Yeah, it could be an all-star team, and it, I think, I don't really have too much of a problem with this unless there's anybody I am not thinking about off the top of my head. I kind of like all of this, honestly. I think they might have nailed it. Is there anybody missing here?
Are you surprised that Ellie is not getting the start
over Lindor? Yes, actually. I think he might deserve it. I think he might be the one that they should have in there over Lindor. But
I'm going to run a quick comparison, actually, because I want to
see. How much better of a defender has Lindor been? That's the thing.
I'm going to check here. So we've got,
okay, defensive war. Lindor has 7.6 and Ellie has negative 0.7. So that's got to be why. Because Ellie's offensive war is 16.8 and Lindor's is 13.2. So, yeah, it's probably just like some combination of big market and he's a better defender. But I think Ellie's having the better season and it just is probably the better player, at least, you know, will be in his prime.
Yeah, Lindor's numbers don't jump off the page, really. I mean, it's not like Ellie's due either. Like, Ellie's had a decent year. He's been fine. But Lindor's, like, he's a 789 OPS. Like, he's got 18 homers. That's good. He's a Met, so that's going to help. But it is still, I don't know. This is not like, I guess it's not a slam dunk that either one of them should be starting over the other, because it is, you know, like, they're both not having, like, incredible years. Ellie's numbers are better. He's got an 836 OPS, same amount of homers, a little bit higher in the average, 349 on base to 332 for Lindor. You know, I don't know. I guess you can make the argument that one should be starting over the other because Lindor's got a much better defensive value. But, like, how much do we play defense into the decision on who's starting in the All-Star game? It's interesting. I think it probably has to play into the fan base that's voting for them.
Yeah, it's not like the kind of thing where I'm like, this is awful. It's such an injustice. But, you know, I would personally go with Ellie. That's just where I'm at.
Yeah, he's also been hotter recently. So that
should also... Geraldo Perdomo have made it?
Ooh.
Okay, listen to this. 92 games, 408 plate appearances.
Whoa.
Slashing 267, 368, 415. WRC Plus is 121. By the way, yes, I am on his FanGraph stat. That's why I'm reading all these in this order. 10 home runs, 13 steals, and he's walked more than he's struck out. He has fully blocked Jordan Lawler from the shortstop job in Arizona. And
I mean,
he's 25, and he's a good plus defender. Should he maybe be here?
How are you going to take
him
out?
That's the thing.
Brendan
Donovan.
I mean, you got two shortstops on the roster. You got Lindor. You got.
You could take out Brendan Donovan, but then is he like the only Cardinal? Is that why? Do the Cardinals not have anybody else?
He is the only Cardinal, I think.
Yeah,
that made
okay,
it.
That's
yeah,
why.
He is. Okay, so then you have to do the should Brendan Donovan be the Cardinals representative question. Like,
Who else would it be? Let me look at
Sonny Gray. Is Sonny Gray hurt?
No, Sonny Gray's fine. So, he's been pretty
Sonny
good.
Gray might, yeah, he's had a decent year. Let's see. Sonny Gray's had a 3.5 ERA with 100 innings and 113 strikeouts. Nothing great. He's no Yusei Kikuchi. So I don't know.
Man, if Mason Winn ever like fully figures it out at the plate,
he might.
He's such a good defender.
Young. He's 23.
He's so good on defense. I'm a big Winn fan. But yeah, it's either Brendan or Sonny Gray. I'm a little surprised Sonny Gray is not here.
He could have been. I bet there's an argument to have been made for him.
Yeah, I think so.
Helsley?
Has he just not had enough opportunities?
He's got 18 saves.
Okay.
31 games.
That's fewer saves than I would expect in 31 appearances.
They don't win.
Yeah. Well, no.
Well, actually, they're 49-44. Games over.
They have a pretty similar record to the Yankees, honestly.
They do.
That's kind of messed up.
Maybe they're just winning big. They are winning big. Actually, you know what's funny? Look at their go to Baseball Reference. Look at their schedule graphic or whatever. They have a lot of big wins. There's not a lot of close wins here.
Do they have a big run differential?
No, because they lose big too.
Fair enough.
It's kind of funny. It's completely.
That's pretty wild.
One or the other. Huh. Their Pythagorean win loss is 48-45, and their actual is 49-44. So they're not overachieving. They've got they've got a +11. Ollie Marmol still has a job.
He sure does. I would not have thought
that. I would not have thought at all. So yeah, I don't know. Perdomo's having a good year to round it back out, but I don't think there's anybody here you could take him out for.
That was much more in depth of an all-star preview than I was planning on doing.
This has been a fun season. There's a lot of good performances and fun seasons to look into out of these guys. So there's good conversation here.
Totally. Absolutely. I'm Kyle looking Stowers forward being the to this.
Rep is,
he's good. He's having a good year.
I mean, I know he is, but
you would not have expected
at the beginning
that.
Of the season. Yeah. It's Sandy the whole way, and somehow he's just fallen off a cliff.
He's been horrid.
What happened to the kid they got from the Orioles last year?
That was Kyle Stowers, or did you mean Norby?
No, that one.
He's been pretty good. He's just not at the All-Star level. Hold on, is Alcantara last?
Stowers' numbers are crazy.
Actually, no, he's not. Okay.
Let's see.
Oh, wait, I'm looking at hitters. Is Alcantara last in WAR? Let's see. He's close. He has the ninth fewest.
Least?
What's the proper grammar for WAR?
Ninth?
He's
ninth least.
Ninth in least. Worst WAR. Least lowest. WAR. Lowest fewest? WAR. Anyway, Jake Irvin is last.
If you're a semantics nerd, hit us up. If you're a baseball semantics nerd.
This is tough for the Diamondbacks because Gallen is second worst and Brandon Pfaadt is fourth worst. The only ones ahead, Jake Irvin's first, and then Tomoyuki Sugano, the unk that the Orioles signed out of Japan, is third.
The unk. That really, it was surprising when they did that.
Jameson Taillon, Eric Fetty, Bailey Ober, Andre Pallante, and then Sandy. That's fucking crazy.
Pallante, that's another one of those. The Cardinals are not doing too great.
Can pitchers not have winning. Negative WAR? Is that not allowed? Because
there's no way.
The guy last is just WAR. At 0.0. Maybe if I make it what if I bring it down to 20 and okay, yeah, there we go. If I put the thing down to you only have to throw 20 innings, then Bowden Francis has negative 0.9 WAR with a 6.05 ERA in 64 innings. Then
you had to qualify. Yeah, let's see.
Then you have the thumb, Trent Thornton. He's second.
Trent Thornton is down there. I'm looking at this.
That's
Osvaldo
crazy.
Is down there.
Yeah.
These are the names like Ryan Zephyrjohn. When was the last time you watched a game where Ryan Zephyrjohn got involved? It is really.
He's in
these
the
are
mix.
The names that are fun.
He's been in the
you
mix.
Should have these. These are the names that when you're trying to mess around with people later on, have one of those conversations where it's oh man, here's what because I was actually talking. Friend of the pod Morgan the other day the Yankees are probably going to go after one of these relief this is back before we knew they had a wish list that was so hammered down. I was they're going to go after some middle end reliever. I was we'll end up with getting
did you say Ryan Zephyrjohn?
Osvaldo Beto Ryan Zephyrjohn a mid-end reliever that just fills out the guy the guy they got from the White Sox 2 years ago whose name now I cannot remember. Who's out of the league?
Fuck. No, I'm going to remember. I'm going to remember it now.
I'm looking it up.
Oh, my God.
If
gosh.
You get it before I get there. Wait.
Shit.
Wait.
Okay.
Keep going.
It started with a Y.
Did it? That doesn't
No,
feel right.
That seems wrong.
I think it was a T. I feel like it was a T.
Oh, my God. What was his name?
I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, it was like some weird name. Oh, I found it.
What is it?
There was a Y in there. There was a Y in there that made it harder to remember.
What is it?
Not Peel.
What?
Keenan.
Oh, Keenan Middleton. Yep.
Yeah.
I would not have gotten that.
Because his name was
I see what you're doing. Keenan. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, Keenan Middleton. That was, yeah.
I was like, is his name Orange? Banana? Like,
man. No, but Keenan Middleton. Keenan Middleton is like the most quintessential Yankee trade deadline vibe, I feel like. They did that with Scott F. Ross a couple of years ago. It's just like what they do.
Scott F. Sauce. I was a fan of him.
Where is that guy?
He's back. He's actually back. He closed out one of the games the other day.
Did he actually?
Yeah, he's been a low leverage guy. There's some interesting names if you make it so that you only need 20 innings to qualify in the stats. Like, I'm not tapped into George Soriano whatsoever.
No, I did not know that he was out there getting it done.
He's not getting it done. He has an 8 ERA. He's not getting it done.
Fair enough. God.
Man. Walker Buehler is okay. These are the guys that like just missed qualifying. If you include
Tim
them,
Hale has negative WAR. Wow,
that surprises me.
That is very surprising.
Because like, all right, if you make it so that like you just like you're
Casey
a little
Legamina.
Bit away.
That was the guy, by the way. I made the joke about when Morgan and I were talking about it. I was like, they're going to trade for Casey Legamina.
I don't. I've never even heard that name. So
he's a mid reliever for the Mariners. You might see him tonight if you keep watching this Yankee game.
I don't know. Brian Wu's throwing a no hitter, so it's possible this goes up and he's no hit the Yankees.
That's very fair. Maybe Casey Legamina will come in. They'll get a
but
split.
He's at 74 pitches through five, so it might be a little surprising. Walker Buehler's on here. Probably. He's got negative WAR.
Yeah,
he's
rough,
minus
rough
0.4. Zach Eflin also negative 0.4. Tanner Houck.
What can you tell me about Easton Lucas?
Blue Jay, right?
Yes, but that is like
that's
what
all
a
I know about him. Yeah, I mean,
don't they also have Easton? Oh no. That's a quarterback.
Were you thinking of Easton Stick?
Easton Stick.
That's my favorite name.
It sounds like
name.
He'd be on the Blue Jays too.
That sounds like a like auto-generated name from one of those like Japanese video games where it's like Sleeve McDykel or Todd Bonzales.
Exactly.
Easton Stick. That's Easton such a Stick. Name.
It's an all-time sports name. It really is.
Chase Dolander. That makes me sad. He has negative
he's way
WAR.
Down there. I mean, what are you gonna do? He's out there in
Roky Sasaki. Oof, brother.
That's not gonna last though.
No,
like
it's not.
I really have a hard time believing it. Although
he just might
really
his arm might be
not,
cooked.
You know, isn't he done for the year?
No, but it's possible. Like I'd be a little surprised if he came back. Mick Abel on here, surprising after his first start where he was so good. Like, he outdueled Paul Skeens. That's the kind of season Paul Skeens is having. He gets outdueled by Mick Abel, who then just becomes a bum for, like, the next however many starts he's made. Five. Look, he's made six starts.
He needs to have Jacob deGrom's number and ask him how he got through his years in with the Mets.
Jacob deGrom should be his therapist, literally.
Yeah, honestly.
It's like
he's
2018 deGrom 2.0.
You can only hope that his arm doesn't go the same route.
It is the only comparison. I've never seen this happen to a pitcher except for that Jacob deGrom season. And I rostered both of these seasons in fantasy baseball, just to throw out there.
There you go. The only problem
that's
is
why,
that
it's
Paul
why it's
Skeens
happening.
Isn't allowed to hit. Jacob DeGrom used to win games 1-0 with an RBI.
That is so true. That's so valid.
That is seriously, I would like to see if that's ever happened in baseball to another pitcher, but I feel like I remember that happening to DeGrom. And it's got to be able to be found. Like, I don't know if you could find that. I'm not skilled enough with the search tools on all these websites to find that. But a pitcher who registered a win, a complete game, and an RBI with a 1-0 finish. Does it exist?
I think
I would like to know.
Syndergaard did that, didn't he?
I think so. It definitely happened to the Mets because I remember it being a thing. Fun stuff. If you're listening and you're good with that kind of stuff,
hit us up.
Let us know.
All right. Wait. Tim Hill has a 2.38 ERA. Genuinely, how does he have
negative
WAR?
I don't know. Situationally, he's just
WAR
getting,
sucks.
He gave up like
I've,
one.
WAR, I've changed my mind. WAR is trash. Throughout this
reliever
entire conversation.
War is really hard to pin down.
That's crazy.
You're telling me Angel Chavilly for the Rockies is actually at a negative 0.2? Come on.
Nobody else on here is anywhere close to a 2.38 ERA. but Tim Hill somehow. Like, that's
Tim Hill has had a good year. He's
been good.
This doesn't really make sense.
If only they threw him in the World Series.
They would have won the World Series.
Maybe.
I think it's very possible.
It's certainly possible. You can make that argument. God damn.
Chad Green has a 3.6 ERA, and he's way down here. I don't know. I feel like maybe one bad appearance, and then you just completely tank your war.
I guess. Something.
Like, I don't know. Doesn't really make sense.
Antonio Senzatella has started 18 games. He is 3-13 with a 6.60 ERA, a 4.83 K per nine, and 3.25 walk per nine. Oof.
Not to be mean to a guy with a name that he can't control, but Scott Blewett has been on three teams this year and has a negative 0.4 war. That's really...
kicker with that name, amazing. Too, right? Chris Blewett? That's a guy. Yeah, is that a guy? So. Is that a person? I mean, am I making him up?
Scott Blewett, and you decided to be a reliever? I'm sorry. You shouldn't. Like, you got to think it through, man.
I mean, he probably didn't know he'd be in the bullpen.
It's fair. He probably came up as a starter when he was a young buck, but...
God, he was a young
Scott Blewett. Why would you ever do? Don't be a hitter. Don't be a pitcher. Don't be named Blewett and be a pitcher.
Grant Balfour should have seen it coming.
Yeah, he absolutely should have seen it coming. That's a perfect example. Sinister.
He should have changed his name. Frankly, I would not. Like
Grant Strike Three. Scott Blewett should be Scott Save. God, it's rough.
Jesus. Well, we went from the All Stars to the worst in the league.
Honestly, the name convo for baseball, though, it never gets old.
Who's okay, hold on. I'm going to do the same thing for batter. We got to get out of here, but, like, whatever. 40 plate appearances minimum. Who has the least war? It's Lamont Wade Jr.
That's shocking, actually.
A little bit.
He got cut, didn't he?
Yeah, he says he's played for two teams this year. So he was...
Yeah.
The Giants probably cut him, and then now he's an Angel. That's fucked up. Poor guy.
Yeah. Ugh. Michael Tolia, Heston Kjerstad, really Andrew Vaughn. These are names I would not
those
have
expected
down here.
Those three are all really disappointing. Like, Tolia was everybody's breakout pick, at least in, like, fantasy circles.
Yeah.
Kjerstad was the second overall pick 5 years ago. And then
he had striking
myocarditis and, like, kind of almost died. So you do have to give him a little... But like at this
you can give him a slight bump.
At this point, I mean, he should be better than he is now. And then Andrew Vaughn was sort of last year's disappointment. Like, we've known he was a bust for a little while.
He's been the last decade's disappointment. Yeah. Like, he's been... Is he the 2020 disappointment candidate?
Two top three picks up here. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. 100%.
Like, of the whole 2020s, I feel like it might be Andrew Vaughn, which is a shame.
I think it has to be. I don't know who else could even be considered, because like he was drafted in 2020, or no, that's not true, he was drafted in 2019 or 18, but he was picked directly after Bobby Witt Jr. It went Adley, Witt, Andrew Vaughn, so I think it has to be him.
Yeah. Oh man,
poor guy.
Kiebert Ruiz,
Santander on here is crazy.
That's also surprising,
but he's been hurt for a while. Jordan Walker,
I don't think I've ever even heard of Deshaun Kiersey Jr.
No, I haven't either. I don't know who that is.
Wow, he's on the Twins.
Vinny Capper homered off of Carlos Rodon on opening day and then has not homered again for the rest of the season.
That checks out.
Yeah, that's a very
Carlos
Rodon.
That was a
Carlos
monster shot, too. That thing was like a nuke. I have never seen such a confident homer out of a kid with no homer power in his career.
Yeah, he smoked it.
You did. Jordan Walker's way down here, too. That's
so is Jack Caglione through his first 32 games.
Jamer Candelaria. What the hell happened to Jamer Candelaria?
He's a Yankee now.
I know he is, but that's why I'm saying. Like, how did he signed a big deal. He was like a giant trade deadline guy a couple years ago. Like, what happened to Jamer Candelaria? He just decided he didn't want to hit anymore?
Brian Reynolds with negative war is annoying.
Is that defense? Because he's playing center? Fiantos. Like, what?
Well, okay, Brian Reynolds hasn't ex-WOBA of 357 and a WOBA of 290. So, like, I gotta think he's getting unlucky. Because, alright, if I sort it by ex-WOBA again, he has the same... He's tied with Brandon Lau, who's an all-star. There you go. Byron Buxton. He has a higher ex-WOBA than Byron Buxton. Riley Green.
Yeah, that's weird.
Ellie. Paul Goldschmidt. Nick Kurtz. That's crazy.
That is, yeah. That's surprising. His hitting numbers are fantastic. It is. I honestly think his WAR is getting hurt because of his defense. Actually, his hitting numbers are not fantastic, but he's got 660 OPS.
They should trade him somewhere that's homers. Just like, Brian, you're playing first base.
But he used to be such a good defender. I'm surprised. He's not that old. He's 30. Like,
I mean, I feel he's a really bad defender. Like, was he ever that good of a defender?
Last year he was actually the worst. He was first in fielding value, first percentile in fielding value. 2023 is 15th.
Yikes.
17th. 96th. Okay, yeah.
Oh, wow.
In 2021, okay. He was 96th.
What happened?
I remember him. Like, did he get hurt or something? Maybe he had a knee thing. He stopped being able to run. Because, like, his range was 97th percentile in 2021, and then the year after, he was 6th.
Jesus.
So, I don't know. Man, the percentiles really tell you a story. It's fun stuff in there.
They really do. I think it's probably time to tap out.
Is that where we call it?
Yeah, I was just going to say.
with Brian Reynolds.
Poor Brian Reynolds.
History, yeah, man.
Well, this has been a very fun episode. I enjoyed this one quite a bit.
Absolutely. Just mess around in stat sheets.
Yeah.
Get some fun stuff.
I feel like we should do this more often and put them on like Patreon. That way we might be able to get people to give us money.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, also give us money.
Yeah, give us money. Well, I guess
give
that's
money. We
go
like
subscribe. Patreon.com/Mudville. Anyway.
Patreon.com/Mudville.
I wasn't going to hype that up because we're like still just kind of coming back from hiatus still. So it's like I wanted to get a little bit of a track record in before plugging that. But whatever. Shameless plug. Let's do it.
Shameless plug.
It'll be shameless.
Give us money.
Give us your money.
What kind of things are they giving to the DA? Is that shameless? That the
no,
the
that's
a pounder joke from Sonny.
The shield. Yeah,
there's the shield.
God damn it, Dutch! What other errands do you have us running for the DA?
Wow!
That's where we ended.
That's good stuff, right
that's
there.
Where we
next
ended.
Time on Mudville, we'll talk more about the trade deadline.
I'm not going to do D's Obama impression.
She should have done D's Obama impression. All right. We'll see you next week.
I have been Nolan Rabine.
I have been Brody Stab.
Peace.